I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty, the blonde bomber and T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, have the latest for you. The latest is, first off, 5 o'clock fires brought to you by Kirk. 5 o'clock fires. Fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. Remember, this is the segment. So stay tuned right now for your chance. Not now. When I give out the number is when. But this is the segment when you have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Texans take on the Jacksonville Jaguars at NRG. So stay tuned for that. That is coming up in this segment. Before we get there, here is Joe Espada. Joe Espada, the manager, speaking today as the Astros look to try to close this AL West out and punch their ticket into the postseason. Joe Espada spoke to the media on the latest with Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah, that's kind of the same feel I have from him. It's kind of day to day. The inflammation needs to go down. He did say that he's feeling better than he did yesterday. So hopefully we get improvement day by day. So we'll see. Time will tell. It would be great to have Yordan off the bench. It'd be great to have Yordan in some capacity, but we want him to be able to do that. So we just need to, give him some time and see how he feels the next couple of days.
He said he was feeling a lot better today. Is that encouraging that he is getting better?
Yeah, because that's what, it's going to require for us to get him back on the field. Inflammation, mobility, more also for, state of mind, right, that he feels like he can push off, he can do things on a baseball field that that he normally does. So we just got to wait and see.
All right, that was Joe Espada. Also, Yordan Alvarez spoke as well, according to Chandler Rome. Yordan Alvarez said that he is able to put more weight on his leg today, but still isn't able to turn his knee at all. He said he hopes to get some at-bats this weekend in Cleveland, but that will be contingent on the swelling in his knee. So for me, fellas, hopefully they can go ahead and close this thing out. It's going to happen, but they can close this thing out, Clint, and punch their ticket. For me, I would hope and want him to get as right as possible, right? Obviously you continue to let him start to get swings when he's ready to get swings. But for me, I don't see the reason to have him play the rest of the way. What do they got? Six games? Five games the rest of the way. I don't get the thought of putting him in there. Just make sure you get him healthy, control it. And I know I joke around a lot, but honestly, knee swelling, knee sprain, just get him as right as you possibly can before the postseason.
Yeah, I don't know, Ron. I do wonder I don't want Yordan Alvarez not swinging the bat for the next five games, and then all of a sudden we got a wild card playoff series.
Yeah, not swinging the bat. No, he gets swings in.
But I ain't talking about the cage, though. My man's got to get some action.
Oh, sure, he can get some controlled action.
He's got to see pitches, man. There's got to be, and that maybe he's comfortable with not seeing anything. I don't know. I guess my overall point is if he's got a DH and fill that DH role and not play in the field and get some at bats and take it easy getting to first base, again, especially if you lock down the division, they're useless games anyway, ultimately. But seeing pitches and swinging the bat, I would think that's getting him back as soon as possible is in the best interest of the team. Like, man, you can't go into a three game wild card playoff with him not swinging a bat for five games.
Yeah, no, I mean, you wouldn't be good with let's say Verlander or Ronnell or somebody on their side day throwing him bullpen and throwing him legit pitches.
No, if he can do that, he can swing in the game.
Yeah, but then those he's having to run and move to first base.
I don't even play in left field, but I would think that. Look, if he says it doesn't matter and he'll sit these five games or whatever and then just play in the wild card, cool. But I would think that he would like to get some at-bats in them last handful of games to make sure that he's seeing it well and can do his thing come wild card time.
Yeah, I guess my thought is if he ain't, you know, if he's 80% or something, if there's still a bit of an issue, but he can play in playoff games, I'd want that to happen in the playoff game and not quite before he has to, especially if it's meaningless games. All right, let's do it right now. Your chance. Caller number four. Caller number four, 713-572-4610. Caller number four, 713-572-4610. Your chance right now to win a pair of tickets to see your Houston Texans host the Jacksonville Jaguars coming up on Sunday. Tyler will take care of you. Caller number four, 713-572-4610. Your chance right now to win a pair of tickets to see your Texans host the Jacksonville Jaguars.
5 o'clock fire.
There it is. There the people are. They're filling up right there as the people have a chance to get it done. Have yourself a great time out there. It will be a good time, and it should be a good game, and it should be everything the Jags can try to give, because Doug Peterson's job might be on the line. I'm certain. I believe that's what happened to Bill O'Brien. He lost his job after they started off and lost that fourth game to the Minnesota Vikings. So it'll be a big game in the division, and should be an entertaining game with that team. All right, Clint, as we said earlier, they've got a chance, the Astros, to go ahead and punch their ticket into the postseason and win the AL West yet again. Here is the lineup today. Altuve will be leading off at second base. Kyle Tucker, with Alvarez out, will play second. Lord knows, if Kyle Tucker starts getting hot in the two spot, you never know with Joe. Hell, he may just stay there, and they may just bump
right
Alvarez down. Who knows what happens. But with Alvarez out, that's where Tucker is in right field. Bregman's at third base, batting third, with Diaz catching today. Singleton is the DH tonight, with Caratini at first base. Pena's at short, Hayward in left, and then in center field is Mauricio Dubon as Jake Myers gets the night off. All right, so that is the lineup, and they've got Framber going tonight. I just making sure from you all, Framber, is he the number one starter
yes.
for you? First game, whoever they play right now, I think it's the Tigers.
Yep.
The Tigers have just taken.
Yep. I'm going lefty, righty, lefty. You're going to see Framber. You're going to see Hunter Brown. You're going to see that old Kikuchi.
That's your three.
That good stuff. Huh?
That's your three.
That's right my there. Three right there out of the gate. And I'm gonna have a stable of cats that if something happens early in a game, I can stable of them. If something happens in a game, I can yank your ass out, and I got another big gun coming in there. So absolutely.
Yeah,
that's where I'm going with.
Listen, Framber has been. I mean, he's absolutely been sensational. I mean, it is. He has come back out of nowhere. The one thing we were asking, can you just give us some sort of stability? Can we get any kind of level of consistency out of you? And he has done that and brought that. And I think when you look in the American League with where they've got to face. Clint, I can't believe I don't know how many other teams feel better about their number one starter that's going to be in the postseason. I mean, there are some other teams. I think the Yankees feel good about Gerrit Cole. I think there's some other teams that feel pretty good about players, but I'm not sure if anybody feels as good as Joe Espada does about his number one starter in Framber Valdez. Because as good as Hunter Brown has pitched, It's not even an argument. I
don't think it is. I mean, look. Here's the deal: is we need Framber to do tonight what Hunter Brown did last night. We need Framber to just continue his dominant ways, and then you shelve him the rest of the way. We'll be able to shelve him for the rest of the way, right?
This is they've got five games left, counting tonight.
You'd be able to shelve him and potentially Hunter Brown before that series, and have them good and rested before you rock and roll here. So yeah, we just need Framber to follow in Hunter's footsteps and have you a good outing. You don't have to strain that thing. Get through six, about mid-80s, low-90s pitches, get back in that dugout, get that arm iced up, and let's ride.
Yeah, yeah. And that's big for them. That's to me, was just wild. Like, Hunter Brown, as well as Hunter Brown has pitched, like, it's not even an argument of who would be the number one starter. Hell, I mean, it's probably more of an argument between Kikuchi and Hunter Brown than it is, you know, 1-2, just because Kikuchi is Kikuchi.
Kikuchi.
Sorry about that. Kikuchi. You say Kikuchi.
Kikuchi.
Has been as dominant as those two since.
She say Kikuchi. He say Kikuchi.
A lot of people do. Yeah.
We all say Kikuchi.
There we go.
All say Kikuchi.
There we go. But it's close between those two. So big start tonight. And hopefully, right, that they can go ahead and get this thing closed down, right? I mean,
yeah, just finish it,
just
man.
Just go ahead and finish it off, you know. Just
put the mermen of Seattle out of their misery.
Nobody needs to see anything weird happen to where the Mariners somehow sweep this thing, and now you got the pressure of these last two games to try to.
Now, let's not do
just
that.
Just win one of those. Like, let's not Please. Let's not have to bring that in. And the Ray Framber is pissed. He's liable to throw a no-hitter or a perfect game. No, he walks too many people. I just don't think Framber can throw a perfect game. He has to walk somebody. So that is the latest there.
I'll see you in October.
5 o'clock fire.
Again, Tyler, who was our winner?
Mr. Brian out of Pearland. He was amped, too. He was pumped.
Brian out of Pearland is our winner. Congratulations, Brian. He should be amped and pumped. Brian was just going to go and, I'm sure, maybe just chill at home and maybe watch the game and watch it on TV. I don't know who the broadcasters are going to be, but just watch it on TV. And now he's going to be in the building.
I feel like we should meet up, Brian.
That's a good thought.
I mean,
that's a thought.
They raise him right down there in Pearland now.
I got his number. We can text him and set up a meet.
There's a good chance. Are you going to be at the game? Are the Texas fans allowing you to go to the games again?
Well, home games are no problem.
Oh, I don't. Well.
I might set this year.
I might set the one right
just
after.
Just the right after. Yeah. I was thinking that.
No, I'll be there. I'll be in the house.
No, man. Just attack it.
You have your jersey on?
Nah.
Attack it head on. From the text line, F that guy, Brian from Pearland. That's a little strong.
Damn. It's your fellow Houstonian.
Try next time. All right. Next week should be a Texans Ticket Tuesday next week.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. Didn't we do a Texas Ticket Thursday a couple weeks ago, opening week or something?
We did.
First couple weeks. I think we did. I know we did. We turned around and gave away on Thursday,
we
too.
Did.
I know we did.
Yeah. I think it was a preseason
Tyler,
game.
Tyler, you've been through a lot since then.
I think it was,
was it a preseason game?
I think it was a preseason game. I don't know if we'll be able to.
Wasn't the home opener?
Yeah. I don't think it was.
And they say no.
Yeah, I don't think so. All right. Mike Tomlin. He's all about this, ain't he? Mike Tomlin saying there's no need to name Justin Fields as a starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Even though the Steelers are 3-0, despite preparing for quarterback, Justin Fields is likely to start his fourth consecutive game for the undefeated Steelers Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts.
We do not care.
Coach Mike Tomlin declined to name him the starter going forward over veteran Russell Wilson, who has been sidelined with a... and I'm in quotes, lingering calf injury.
That's right.
I believe Russ is through that calf injury.
I believe Russ could play if he wanted to. I look at this. I think Justin Fields is much more of a Pittsburgh guy than Russell Wilson. Justin Fields is much more of a Mike Tomlin kind of guy than Russell Wilson. So I think. We're seeing him get better on game day. I'm sure in practice it's even more impressive. I'm sure in person every day the athletic ability and the arm talent that this dude has is even more impressive. So, yeah, look, I got to believe right now what Russ did was crack the door for Fields to get enough reps to where Mike Tomlin sees it every day and then goes, damn, boy, if these stars align in Pittsburgh with Justin Fields, I got my defense rolling. Boy, this could be – we could make another run. And with him, as young as he is, you could make a couple of runs over a handful of years. So, I'm with you. I think they've seen enough from Justin Fields to think, like, there ain't no reason – there's no reason in derailing the kid at this point.
And, Clint, it's not just cracking the door. Like, he cracked the door for – he was clearly not – you know, well established. This wasn't like CJ having some sort of an issue and he cracked the door for Davis Mills.
Right.
Like there was this was a competition to begin with. And, you know, it could come down to, well, who played the most in the preseason? And that's what happened. And when you look at it, Clint, and this is the part that's scary, because Russ is kind of delusional. And I think Russ still believes he's a starting quarterback there. I don't know if it's really like come to Russ's thought, like this thing may be over. I've been pipped. But clearly we've seen a change in the last 2 weeks. The first 2 weeks, Clint, 17 of 23, 156 yards.
Dub.
He ran it 14 times. The next week, he only threw it 20 times. He's 13 of 20 for 17 yards, seeming like everything for 117 yards. And he rushed it 8 times, seemed like they were just being careful. And then against the Chargers, he's 25 of 32 for 245 and a touchdown and a pick, which means he's throwing the ball. It's not just, you know, hey, let's be safe with everything and bang out a bunch of screens and easy short throws. They clearly opened it up for him this week as if to see, all right, let's see what you can do. Let's not just keep the pacifier on him. And now it's open because it is a guy where, all right, he gets more confidence. He gets in there. We already know who has the more natural talent right now between the two of them. And they let him open it up, and it didn't lose them the game.
Yep.
And they scored the most points that they've scored all year. And I know George Pickens is over there. Please, please, let's have this. So
that's right.
Yeah, man. I think this is a wrap.
Russ's best chance was when it was early camp, and it was still, man, you know, let's go with the safe bet. Let's go with the guy, the veteran, the guy that, you know, we feel the safest about. Now he done messed around and let the more talented guy get some run, and they realize he's not only safe, but he is you're betting on the come right there as well. The ceiling, if this kid can play at or above his ceiling, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be a problem.
Yes, yes. All right, we saw Monday Night Football last night, and we saw the Texans' next opponent, and wait till you hear what Clint has to say that his damn expectations are for that game coming up on Sunday. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome in. As you heard there, just a little programming note. We will be at the Pitch 25 in Edo tomorrow, Wednesday. Tomorrow, make a programming note as the Astros have a little day baseball. Hopefully they have already clinched winning the division, and they won't need to win that game. And Joe Espada and Dana Brown can start kind of positioning this team and their rotation how they want to, and they can get ready for the postseason. Hopefully they take care of business tonight behind their ace, Framber Valdez. But there will be some day baseball tomorrow, and we will be at the Pitch 25 in Edo. So come hang out with us. And have a good time, man. It's always a good time. We're out on a beautiful Wednesday. Should be a great day out, as we'll be right near Minute Maid. So come hang out and enjoy your time with us tomorrow at The Drive. Not going to the game. Come hang out with us tomorrow on The Drive. All right.
Come hang out with us, a little Sagamore Rye Whiskey, couple of more gift cards. Come on, Doug.
That's right. You said some Specs gift cards.
Two $50 Specs gift cards. A little tasting, a little Sagamore Rye Whiskey tasting. Yeah.
That's good.
Hell
that's
yeah.
Good. That sounds fun. All right, let's get to it here. Last night, man, he's got mollywop last night, man. That wasn't even close. I'm sitting here, and I'm talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars, Clint. I'm sitting here, I'm at football practice. These kids had to hit conditioning. Sorry for them bear crawls out there for.
Make them strong, man.
And bear crawls out there for the Southside Saints that y'all had to hit. But I pulled the phone out, checked the score. It's about 7:40. I checked the score. It's 27-3.
Boy, fast.
We're in the second quarter. I said, what in the hell has happened? The Jags got beat down. Beat the hell down by the Buffalo Bills. And listen, the Bills, I think, they right now, we'll do power rankings, and I know a lot of power rankings have the Chiefs at the top, and I think it's just because people view the Chiefs as the champs and they're just in a different type of thing. But to me, if there were lists that said the Buffalo Bills are playing the best, I think they are. I think they have looked to be the most impressive team in the league the first 3 weeks. So that's one part. They've blown out the last two opponents they've played. 47-10, that's just embarrassing for a team that don't have no major injuries, really, that we could speak of that had playoff aspirations. And I know when you're watching that and you saw this and you saw how bad it looked with Trevor and that interception, they've showed multiple angles of that interception. He overthrew that receiver by, like he thought it was Manute Bol going up to get that thing.
It will not be a good night.
He thought it was, I don't know who he thought, Victor. He thought that was who was throwing that ball up to over his head and gift-wrapped a pick to DeMar Hamlin. It looked really, really bad, but I know it drove you to say, Jacksonville's coming into town next week, and you got now expectations for the Texans.
Yeah, look, I mean, the Texans need a get-right game. I mean, the Texans haven't played what we would call even A-rated Texans football yet as a team. They need a get-right game, and damn it, the Jags are just that. After watching them last night, look, the Bills rolled up 47 on them. It could have been 60-plus, man. They scored a touchdown on their first five possessions, yeah,
Mitch
Ron.
Mitch Trubisky got in the game
last. I mean, they scored five straight possessions touchdowns, and it was messed through a goose easy, man.
It was so easy.
And if you know, the TV copy, you can't always tell what the hell's going on. But if you listen to, it was Dan Orlovsky. Was Spears on there with him calling that game?
Oh, no.
I just saw the private jet they were taking home. But anyway, they were talking about it. And, I mean, and during the game, they're talking about it. And it's like at halftime now, not after the first two touchdowns, at halftime, after five straight touchdowns, the commentators are talking about, yeah, man, look, if Jacksonville doesn't quit playing man defense, they're just going to get torched. They clearly don't have answers and can't cover Buffalo's guys. I'm like, really? That's where we're at with the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're at a spot with them where they're afraid to play zone defense.
I'm sure they vomited in the stands.
The defense was awful. And then by the time you get to Trevor Lawrence, like Trevor Lawrence looks rookie quarterback lost. Like we've all seen that. And not CJ, obviously. We didn't have to deal with it here. We didn't have to deal with it, to be honest with you. We didn't deal with it with Deshaun either. But you know the rookie quarterback, like the guy that's playing because he was drafted early on and he's deer in headlights and has no business being on the field. And you can tell the game's moving way too fast for him. And he's not seeing things clearly. You can say that about Trevor Lawrence last night. I don't know about the first two games of Jacksonville that they lost, but last night you can say for the majority of that game he looked like deer in the headlights, not sure what to do with the football, not sure what this defense is doing to me right now, and I have no answers. I didn't think we would ever see that Trevor Lawrence because he played so much
What's
in college.
Going on, man?
It's bad, man.
He looks.
It is.
He's played a lot in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. No, why were
people saying that this was the year? Like, it feels like the last 2 years, really. Like the prodigy that is Trevor, like this great quarterback. Like, why was it going to be year four whenever he showed up that way?
Because year two, he played at a damn near Pro Bowl level and helped lead his team
damn near
to the second. Well, I mean, Pro Bowl's tough. In the AFC.
I know, but if Trevor Lawrence is going to be what people say or thought he was going to be, achievable.
The last 2 years, I think, because of coming off that season and they took the Chiefs to the limit in the second round of the playoffs, the thought was like, oh, boy, here they come. You saw him come back against Herbert and the Chargers in that year. And then the last 2 years, some people looked at injury was a case. But that's not just injury-wise yesterday. I mean, that interception, I can't get over. He was open too, Clint. You could see him coming across.
That's the scary part. You're talking about a guy that Like even at halftime of last night's game, I'm thinking back to that first round playoff game that they won before playing Kansas City. I'm thinking
they were down 30.
He threw four picks in the second half, and I'm thinking,
boy, he helped them be down 30.
I said, well, if we've seen anybody do it of late, it's been Trevor. So let's see if he can make this interesting. That's how bad it was, and it was more of the same in the second half. I'm just telling you, Texans fans, like this is exactly what the doctor ordered. The Jags are coming to NRG Stadium on Sunday. They absolutely stink on both sides of the football. And here's the thing. When you look at Trevor, and like the most alarming thing if I'm a Jacksonville fan is it looks like in his mind, and if you watch his feet, like the game is moving really, really fast. And guess what D'Amico Ryans likes to do? Defensively disguise and do some different things that are really pressure-wise. That are gonna make you like slow the game down mentally. Like he's gonna have Trevor Lawrence in a blender.
Yeah,
I mean he's gonna have Trevor Lawrence in a blender.
They better find some answers.
Oh yeah, so
I mean, for their sake.
Yeah, this is
so. Let me ask you and the people this as we roll through. Let's say they come in here and the Texans win this game 27-21. Because you said they better go ahead and blow the doors off this group. They win 27-21. What's the reaction? How are we going to be?
Well,
feeling?
I think it depends on how that goes down. I mean, I just
and not a 27-21 where the Jags tackling something late.
Yeah,
it's a game.
I think again, if the Jacksonville Jags, they have players, so it's not like it wasn't last year when Allen their rush edge
just destroyed Tunsil. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
right. Well, I'm gonna tell you what he didn't abuse nothing last night.
Yeah. I'll tell you what 27-21 would tell me. I start stacking them up against a team we think is one of the best in the AFC, and that's the Bills that just took care of them. At that point, I start thinking Texans
at home. Yeah. Like, both teams are at home.
Absolutely, Tyler. There's no doubt about it. Now, if Trevor Lawrence comes in here and he just is dropping dimes and lights the stadium on fire, which he's capable of doing. We've seen him do it before, so it's not. Now, if that's the case and the Texans get into a shootout or the Texans, it's a tighter game, then I can play the card of, hey, it's the NFL, it's hard to win around here. That was a good game. That was a good win. But now if the Texans play down to their level, we're gonna have some real problems.
Yeah, because now it's like, are you playing down? Did you? Because we could say they played down to the level of the Bears. They played down to the level of the Colts.
They?
Now that would be three down to the levels. Yeah, I'm with you. This should be, based off what we've seen, a pissed off, ready-to-play yes. Texans team. Now, they are going against a Jags team whose season's on the line. But the Texans probably wanted to go play yesterday to get that bad taste out of their mouth at home in a home crowd that should be on fire. They should take care of business. This one shouldn't look like the Bears because we just watched what this defense had done to them. All right, coming up, as we continue here, should the B word be used with Laremy Tunsil? Let me actually, as I say that, let me clarify.
You raised my eyebrows.
Should the B word being benched be used with Laremy Tunsil? Not any other B word.
I was like, deal.
Not that one. Laremy, I meant benched. We'll discuss that. Like, that makes him feel better. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, coming up behind us, the Players Show. Dare Ogunbowale will join the Players Show with Indy Kalu, so stay tuned for that as Texans All Access will then follow that as they will have their matchup edition from 7 to 8. And then Area 45 is back. As I look behind me, I see Sean Bajani, and I know Patrick Creighton will be in there, and Chris Santiago is holding it down behind the glass as well. So stay tuned for that, live and local until midnight right here. And I want to jump right into this. I said this on the other side here, and I see people chiming in. When I said B word, I meant bench. That in my mind, that sounded real good.
It's like a good tease
until it came out of my mouth.
Hold on, Joe.
Let me clarify the B word. That would have been funny, though, if I'd have said, yeah, do the Texans need to start using that B word to describe, or that B word to handle Laremy Tunsil? And then Tyler just, bam, went to break. That would have been. Whoa. Talk about a tease. Maybe somebody may have sat through a commercial for that. But no, here is the thought. Because I, honest to God, and maybe this is the first part you guys may disagree with, because I do think this is a conversation for all of these people. Should we be at a point where D'Amico is at least entertaining having the conversation with Nick, Kyle, and Hannah about benching Laremy Tunsil? Should we, through 3 weeks in, and what'd you say? He's got 10 penalties himself.
Oh, my God.
And he's on pace to lead the league in penalties the way that Juwan Taylor did for the Chiefs last year, who had 24, I believe, personal penalties himself. So he's well on pace to do that. Do you think we're at a point where D'Amico, because I think if he's going to bench Laremy Tunsil, I don't think this is one where he just gets to go, where he's just, hey, I'm going to sit him down. This is one where he's got to give some people some heads up with the highest paid player on the team. Do you think that they should at least even be at that point to have the conversation?
No. Yeah. I don't think that.
That's not what the text line is saying, by the way. They're.
Yeah, no, look, I don't think that conversation. We're 3 weeks into the season. We've clearly got something that we need to address. D'Amico Ryans needs to address, and needs to address it personally, needs to address it with the team. It's a huge problem with this football team so far, the penalties overall, and it's a big problem with Laremy Tunsil. But the thought that they should be discussing benching Laremy Tunsil at this point, I think is at this point is crazy.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I would have liked to have seen it happen last week when all this crap was going on and the game was out of reach and it was like, hey, let me prove a point. Let me prove a point. But no, at this point, it needs to be addressed, obviously, from a locker room standpoint. But taking it up the chain of command, I don't think is necessary. No.
From a couple of textures going in here, someone said, "Show it's Ron. Why not bench him? I listened." To another expert talk about how it was rumored that the team negotiates about him practicing. He made excuses. I don't think he cares. Another person said whether they are at the point to have the convo or not, they're absolutely not going to bench him. It's the NFL, not high school.
Thanks for letting us know, friend.
Well, I kind of agree with that thought process. I just turned to a guy. I think you missed him clearly in Dallas, Clint. But Jimmy Johnson has left Michael Irvin running on the tarmac to try to get to the plane. Saw him running, and told the pilot not to wait, to go anyway. He has made people run stairs all day long. He's the one that's once famous to saying, "Yeah, if I saw such and such asleep in the meeting room, I'm gonna cut his ass. If I saw Troy Aikman asleep in the meeting room, I'm gonna go and bump him. Wake up!
Where's your damn head at, dude?"
Listen, I'm sure Emmett's got some stories of things that maybe Jimmy got on him. But I tell you what, Jimmy didn't do. Michael Irvin's ass played that game. Michael Irvin may have had to find his own way to get to wherever the hell they were going, but he ain't missed a game. He found a way to play. And when you are in a situation where the Texans are, and this is one of your best players, this is your highest paid player, and you understand the drop-off to swinging. I think if he sat down and benched him, it is swinging Titus Howard to the left side and Blake Fisher to the right side. When you're trying to win all these games and when you're trying to get to an AFC championship game and you're a Super Bowl contender, like, there's got to be a whole hell of a lot before you reach the point in week three talking about benching him. And hell, I think there's got to be a whole hell of a lot later on in the season speaking about benching him. So I don't get the sense that's it.
Yeah, look, here's the thing, man, is with Laremy Tunsil, we're at a point where there needs to have been a real come to Jesus meeting with D'Amico Ryans and Laremy Tunsil. I mean, you can't walk around eggshells around this guy because he's the highest paid or because he likes to do things, you know, beat to his own drum, which we've seen them allow him to do in training camp, right? You can't tell me. I've seen players that jump off sides in front of in training camp have to run laps for jumping offside. You can't tell me that many guys are going to survive not getting benched or not getting yanked out of the game what Laremy Tunsil did. So at the end of the day, there needs to be a strong message that this needs to get better. For me as a fan, Ron, the one thing that I would love to hear, and this is what chaps me, man, like the total avoidance of it in the media. And this is not a boy, he's always going to defend his players and he's never going to throw his guys under the bus and he's not. No, this is an extreme situation. It's like CJ Stroud goes out there and throws 5 interceptions on Sunday and you lose the game and nobody wants to ask about CJ Stroud throwing interceptions. And the coach doesn't want to comment on CJ Stroud throwing 5 interceptions. No, it's excessive. It's ridiculous. It's unprofessional. With Laremy Tunsil's reputation and his history, it's something that needs to be at the very least responded to. So I would personally, I would feel tenfold better if I just heard D'Amico Ryans, Bobby Slowick, C.J. Stroud. If I just heard those guys say, there's been a conversation had. Everybody understands we can't win football games with that kind of stuff going on.
You don't even need to hear what the conversation was.
Just let me know that it's been addressed.
It's important to hear that.
Yeah. That's it. That as a fan, that's all I want, and we hadn't heard it. So that, I think that's – so instead what you do is now it just continues to be a point to harp on about Laremy Tunsil and about his past and about this negotiating with him to practice and him not, you know, belling on the season over a thumb a year ago and this or that. In reality, it just – I don't think anybody wants inside information. I don't think anybody wants to know exactly what was said. But just acknowledge that it's as bad as it's been and reassure us as fans and us as the media that it's at least being addressed.
Yeah,
I don't care what specifically you say to him. I don't give a rip. I mean, like you said, he's the highest paid. You're not going to bench him. I don't really care how it's like. Just make me feel real nice and comfortable that my head coach and my offensive coordinator and my quarterback and my organization has the guts to it at the very least when something is as excessive as this is to address it.
From the text line, y'all make great points about not benching Tunsil, and I cannot argue against them. Is the compromise that Tunsil loses all of his quote-unquote veteran days and is required to practice every day unless he physically cannot?
Well, but Ron, that is...
Oh, sorry, cannot walk.
So this is... Laremy, let's be honest. Laremy Tunsil does whatever the hell he wants to do. That's the thing. Nick and D'Amico and everybody knew exactly what they were doing. What his get down was. And if he don't want to practice on a Wednesday, his ass ain't gonna practice on a Wednesday. If he don't want to practice for 2 weeks in training camp because he had a knee cleaned up 2 months earlier or whatever, or he had a season ending injury at the last year, then he's not gonna practice. I mean, so there is no disciplining Laremy Tunsil. People want him benched or people want this or that. Like, he's not going to be disciplined whatsoever.
Not. And the reason why is you can say, go watch the playoff game they won last year.
Right.
That's Myles Garrett, who was the defensive player of the year last year, and you didn't hear from him.
Bingo.
Just like that's what he's capable of doing. Literally shutting down the best defensive player in the game as an edge rusher, just completely shut him down. Not much help. And that's why they're not going to do it. And I think a lot of people don't want to hear this part of it because you just, like, there should be dogs. And not everybody's Will Anderson, right? There's a human element to this. And they have to handle this correctly because there is a way that you could completely lose him for the year. David Culley did. There's a way that you can lose him for the year. And I know some of you, well, hell, the F him. No, That's easy to say until you're thinking, man, we're trying to win a championship. You're getting out there and you got to play these certain teams and you got Blake Fisher out there. And you got to play the Chiefs and Chris Jones is hunting down Blake Fisher on one-on-one matchups. Or Nnamdi Matabike is hunting him down. Or,
it's a good job. He changed his name, right?
Yeah, it's not Justin.
No Justin no more. Good job right there, Ryan.
Try to be respectful of him. Like, it's someone texted in, Miles Garrett is a bum. Okay. Thank you for joining.
Appreciate you listening.
Must be a Longhorn.
I don't care. Like,
that man is terrifying.
You gotta accept that one. Longhorn, I don't care what school it goes to. You gotta accept that one. All right, coming up, players show, Dari Ogunbowale with Indy Kalu, Texans All Access following us as well. And then Area 45 will be coming up behind that. Come out with us tomorrow. We'll be at the Pitch 25 in Edo. From 2 to 6, come hang out. Got a chance to win $50 gift card from Specs. Not one, but two of them. And try some good Sagamore whiskey. So come hang out with us tomorrow. And have a good time with the drive. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
Good times at Pitch 25. Tyler's been there. I think that's the place where Tyler passed out on the crapper.
I didn't do that.
I think that's where Tyler passed out on the crapper, woke up, walked out. The place was closed, locked up, had to find somebody to give him.
I do frequent there, though. It's a great establishment.
Oh, that's not where that happened?
That never happened, first of all, but you accused me of it happening in McIntyre's.
Every week, though, there's no excuse for that. None. Then I look at you. And the world's all. Bring on the Jaguars!